2007. This week we have a returning favorite in the house.
I have returned.
It is the Wombat is back in the house with us this week.
How's it going, folks?
And also with us this week again is the Mr. Gambus Khan. So say hello.
Hello, everybody out there.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the heart and soul of the entire podcast.
He is the flaming chicken. Oh, God.
Yeah, right there. Go straight to the heart.
That's right. All right, so we're back for another podcast, and we're going to start off with our usual segment of what's been fondling your console. And since you've been out for like 2 months, I'm going to start right with you. What have you been playing?
Lately, just pretty much Super Paper Mario, which is a blast, even though there's about 8.5 months worth of story at the beginning of the game before you get started.
It's not another Okami, is it?
No, it's not quite that bad. No, I actually fell asleep playing Okami for the first 20 minutes. I've been playing that, a little bit of Guitar Hero 2 on the PlayStation 2.
Yes.
Because I refused to buy it on the 360 again.
Buy it again.
That's pretty much been it lately, at least for the last week or so. Crackdown every now and then when I get a chance to throw it on, and what kind of stole my soul for a month there was MLB The Show, which is fantastic if you like baseball.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, the Guitar Hero, you saw all the 360 people playing it, you're like, I still own this game. It's time to bring it back out.
Might be time to bust this out of retirement.
All right, so I'll move on to Mr. Khan. What's been fun on your console this week?
Well, I've been playing Guitar Hero 2.
It's been copycat.
Pretty sweet. Yeah, I know. Guitar Hero 2, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and that seems to be the game that everybody's been playing lately. I mean, everybody has to have Guitar Hero 2 in their list of they're playing.
Wait a minute, motherfucker. Why are you listening to another podcast? You cheating on our podcast?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to break your heart.
I mean, I haven't been on here in 2 months, but you should not be listening to other podcasts.
Dude, I listen to like 20 different podcasts.
You son of a bitch.
His iPod is just like loaded up with podcasts. Like, he listens to people talk all day.
Yeah, I got a 30 gig iPod, and I got like a gig and a half left. That's free.
Good Lord, man.
Try not to listen to any podcasts on your way back out to your car.
Tell me that you have the News for Gamers podcast on there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure that you're not cheating on us that bad.
Well, I've been playing Guitar Hero 2, and I've been playing a couple of Xbox Live arcade games, such as Boom Boom Rocket, which is okay, I guess, and the new pinball game.
Oh, Pinball FX?
Yeah, which I was actually, I was really looking forward to it, and it seemed to kind of disappoint me because, I don't know, I just liked, I actually liked the Alien Crush game for the Nintendo Virtual Console a little bit better.
Well, actually, to be fair, that's the TurboGrafx game.
Yeah.
You know, Virtual Console just rehashes.
Exactly. But, I mean, that game was a pinball game and it had a lot to it, you know. It had a real elaborate
There's a lot more tables.
Yeah.
There's a lot more tables in Alien Crush.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, I was just expecting the new pinball game for the Xbox Live Arcade to be a little bit more modern, but instead it looks fantastic, but it's like, it just kind of sits there, you know? I was expecting, you know, some more elaborate.
Do you want, like, the table to explode or something?
Well, I was expecting, like, the camera, like, you know, I don't know what I'm saying, but
you're expecting the pinball to have like little lasers that shot out.
Yeah, something like that. And the other game I've been playing is,
oh God, here we go.
Uh-oh, yeah, here it is. Perhaps probably the most financially successful game probably the first half of this year which is, to some people, maybe a good thing. To others, they cringe. But I've been playing Pokemon.
Pokemon!
Yeah, I picked up the new, the Pearl Edition. And,
okay, can I ask you a question?
What's that?
Every time you take it out of the case, does it go shing? Like that?
Yeah.
Nice. I may have to pick it up just for that.
It's real sparkly, too, the cover.
I bet.
It's like all sparkly. And
I bet it is.
I've probably put about 7 hours on it in the past couple days. And
it's really affected his Xbox Live activity.
Yeah. It's a pretty good game, even though it's probably about the third Pokemon game I've ever played. It plays just like all of them, basically, but, you know, it's the towns are actually in 3D now. I mean, the graphics are definitely a step up. And the Wi-Fi, which I have yet to even go into.
Having trouble finding people your age to play Pokemon with?
No, I haven't.
Because, you know, parents get a little scared when you walk up to their kids on the playground and ask them if they want to play Pokemon with you.
Hey, you want to see my Bulbasaur?
You got a black van with tinted windows, don't you?
It's got a big Pokeball drawn on the side of it.
But it's a pretty good game. It's pretty addicting. I spent like an entire hour trying to pursue one Pokemon in the game, and it just kept eluding me.
I'm sorry.
It's addictive, you know. It's an addictive game. It's a good game. It's a real well-rounded RPG. It's deep yet simple at the same time. It's good. It's a good game.
Well, I'm glad you like it because I will never play it.
I know you won't.
I can't get into the Pokemon. I tried it and I was like, this is just kind of dumb. I just don't get it. I don't understand.
But I would get into it, you know, but Pikachu gives me nightmares.
He does that to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's a self-help group for that.
Is there?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, all right. Well, for me, once again, yeah, it's Guitar Hero 2. Actually, I played a ton last night. Was trying to get some co-op achievements and got very frustrated with that. Also played Ninja Gaiden Sigma for the PS3. And, you know, as much as I love that game...
Wait a minute. Am I going to actually hear you criticize Ninja Gaiden? When I've been saying for, you know, ever since it was announced that there was no reason for them to re-release this game for a third time.
Well, you know, I love Ninja Gaiden. I think it's a great game, and I think it's awesome that PS3 owners are going to get to play it now. But after playing it, I'm kind of like, you know, there's a few little things here and there, but I don't see a $60. It could change with the final version because, you know, they could have the Rachel levels and all the additional content and whatever. But just from the demo, it's so similar to the original game, and it feels easier. I don't know. Maybe I'm just played it so damn much on Xbox, but I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. But I've also been playing Command & Conquer 3, Tiberian Wars.
Which is excellent. I played that too.
That is excellent. I cannot wait for the retail copy to come out so we can play online and all that good stuff. Also been messing around with the arcade, been playing some Eats Chow Down.
Which I heard is actually pretty solid.
It's very fun. It's very addictive. It's like 120 little levels where you got to figure out how to get him from one side of the level to the other without actually interacting with him. So it's kind of like Lemmings, but
nice.
It's really addictive. I played the pinball, too, about on the same level as Mr. Khan there that I'm not digging it.
Weren't they supposed to be releasing Lemmings for Live Arcade?
No, PlayStation Network.
Oh,
it's already out on PlayStation Network.
Gotcha.
Also played 3D Ultra Mini Golf for the Live Arcade, which is awesome.
Is it?
Love that game. Had a blast with that. And what was the other one? I played Gyrus. Yeah, it's just another remade shooter. I don't know. Not digging that one all too much, but definitely the Mini Golf and the Eats Chow Down. Definitely download those. Those are good games. But that pretty much wraps up everything we're playing, so now we're going to jump into our news quickies. So stick with us for a second, and we'll be right back. Back with some news quickies, and we've kind of trimmed this section down because obviously if you are listening to this podcast, you visit N4G every day, and there's a ton of stuff on there, but these are the big ones that I grabbed that I feel that we need to talk about.
Basically, we're going to throw these on here for those of you who can't read.
Basically, yeah.
Pretty much.
There's not very many, but we'll start off with the big one. Jay Allard is probably doing cartwheels and celebrating because his dream has come true. Ken Kutaragi has officially stepped down, and he will be gone on June 19th. So, no more PlayStation Blu-ray, I guess.
Wow, did you really just make an English joke in the middle of this podcast?
I did.
English. Oh,
well, wow. If I got to hear it one more time, you know, it drives me nuts.
I think it's kind of sad in a way because, you know...
He did invent the PlayStation, and I respect him a lot for that. But his attitude ever since the PlayStation 2 dominated the world, I don't know. Next up, this is a big one. The Wii outsold the PS3 7-1 in Japan, according to Media Create sales numbers. I believe it was the Wii moved 75,000 units in a week. The PlayStation 3, just 10,000. It is really faltering.
It's the electronic Tickle Me Elmo the Wii is, I'm telling you.
I know, and we will talk about this later, but I just can't understand why people are buying
it. I'm telling you, that's exactly why, because it's this year's hot new fashion accessory.
I guess.
Everybody's got to have one, and they were in limited supply for a while. It's one of those things, like I said, like Tickle Me Elmo, where it's the hot new thing that all the kids want, and I don't know. Even though, like I said, in about a year, I imagine that you're probably going to see the numbers drop off quite a bit, because there hasn't been a whole lot of software support. So
I'd call it very... no software support.
That's true.
That's like I mentioned last week, that the best two Wii games... our GameCube titles.
Right, absolutely.
Legend of Zelda and Mario, Paper Mario.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love my Wii. I tried to do it without giggling, but, you know, it's just so hard.
What's your Wii?
See? There was another one. I love Super Paper Mario. I loved WarioWare. Zelda's fantastic. But, you know, I really, really, really was hoping that this wouldn't end up being another GameCube where the only good games were from Nintendo.
And so far, that's
been the case. I mean, you've had some decent titles other than that, like Trauma Center, but Trauma Center was a port. You know what I mean?
And it was really short. I mean, there's not much
incredibly
to it.
Incredibly short.
So, yeah. And that's
the
problem.
Short port.
It's, you know, nice. The Wii goes against everything and what gamers complain about these days is, you know, I need 40 hours in my game.
Absolutely.
But we'll get to into Wii that later.
We're sort of jumping the gun on that.
Yeah, but that's okay. The next update is the MotorStorm has another update coming to fix the online mode, and I still question why are we not getting our new tracks, and how about a time trial?
Because Sony hates you.
It must, because, you know, that's the only reason I'm not playing this game, is because it forces me to play this single-player mode that you can only play one way, and you can't do a time trial, which, if you've ever played a racing game, having a time trial is crucial.
Yeah.
Because if you just want to sit down and play for, like, 10 minutes, nah. But they're still not doing that. They're just fixing online crap, which sucks. All-Pro Football 2K8. Which is Visual Concepts coming back into the football, have announced that they're going to feature, I believe, over 240 legend players.
And actually, I saw the list online, and there's some pretty impressive names on it.
Yeah, it's like everybody from Troy Aikman to Icky Woods.
Joe Montana's on there,
John
Barry
Elway.
Sanders.
Oh,
yeah.
Reggie
Even
White
Brian Bosworth is on there.
Oh, I know. And that's awesome. I cannot wait to play this game. Even though the first screenshots I saw of it were a little bit underwhelming, but it's the way it plays that matters to me,
right.
Which I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Next up is the April 2007 backwards compatibility update is up, and we feel like it might be the last one. They nailed a lot of games people have been... Yeah, Jet Set Radio's on there, Panzer Dragoon's on there, Mercenaries 2's on there, Stranger's Wrath is on there, a couple of King of Fighters
Mercenaries
games.
Mercenaries 2?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mercenaries.
I was going to say, damn, they're really making sure they got the bases covered, aren't they?
But it may be one of the last ones, and that disappoints me because I still didn't get my ESPN 2K5 football.
Well,
and I still didn't get my Justice League Heroes.
Now, I'm glad Mercenaries is on there finally.
Yeah.
It would have been nice just for me and some of the other people who actually play this game for NASCAR to have got on there, since they didn't make one for 360 this year. But we got one coming out next year. So.
Yeah, you'd be able to play it.
And another game that I would
really
like...
be able to drive around in circles. Go ahead.
To be compatible would be... Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for the Xbox.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that still like to play that game, even though it's like 7, 8 years old now.
It's still
fantastic.
Still one of the best 2D fighters.
It might not be the most technical. It might not be the most fair, but it's the most, like, I think, blast, you know, in terms of just, like, overall graphic presentation and just, like, you get kind of a rush from the, like, the spectacle of the game. It's really cool. I mean, they need to do a backwards compatibility update on that.
That would be nice.
And McCown, I probably wasn't supposed to call you that.
Oh, my name's on the side.
Oh, okay,
so,
cool.
Know, it's all good.
Well, zero tolerance. I saw that there might be, I don't know if you saw this, they might be releasing a Guilty Gear for the Wii.
I'd heard a rumor about
which
that.
Which would just be phenomenal.
I don't know.
I'd like to see a Guilty Gear on anything, so I don't care what system it is. I'd rather them release it for the 360, but you know what? If they're making a new one, I'm happy.
You know, I really would love to see a new Guilty Gear, and I would love it, but see, here's the thing. If they release it on the Wii, I'm going to have to play it with that damn controller.
That's
a fighting
true.
Game with that controller is going to suck. Number two.
Well, unless they make you play it with
the classic
controller.
Give me the option for that. I'll be a little happier. But the second reason that I'll be pissed, no online.
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't know if you read in the newest Game Informer, but SNK representative basically said Nintendo told all third-party developers no online this year for anybody.
Right.
Except for their Pokemon game. So, you know, it's kind of shitty, actually, that they're not letting people do online, but what are you going to do?
Well, let's hope maybe that they'll make it multi-platform. They'll make it for 360, too.
They could just put it on Live Arcade, and I'd be happy. $10, $15.
Damn straight.
Be able to play it online with achievements, I'll be there.
Damn straight.
All right, so the last piece of news we got, I figured I'd save this for last because probably have a little discussion about this, but the new PlayStation Eye camera for the PlayStation 3. This is basically a new version of the iToy. It has a microphone built into it. It will allow you to actually record videos onto your system and upload them into like a YouTube community kind of thing for like the PlayStation Home that's coming out.
Nice.
It has better lighting so that you're able to see with the camera. I don't know anybody that has the Vision camera will tell you that it's a pain in the ass to actually be able to see anything that's going on there. Let's see. What else we got here? It's got a range of different capturing modes, including slow motion and time-lapse photography, which is actually very cool.
That is very cool.
It's got a great frame rate, two-position lens, visual effects to photos and videos, and it comes with the iCreate software that allows users to save and edit photos, videos, and audio clips.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's a really nice package.
Sounds pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's due out this summer. Really, the big thing here is it going to be like the Vision, where it's not used?
Right, exactly. I was about ready to say that there's maybe a handful of games that use the Vision camera at this point?
I've really used it twice. I played Totem Ball once.
Which is terrible.
It's awful.
Terrible.
Game. Then I scanned my face in Rainbow Six.
Absolutely. Those are the only two times I've ever used it. Other than that, it just kind of sits on top of my TV and glows green every now and then.
I never use it, and it's like, I think it's cool, like, I know Gambus is, you're picking up Command & Conquer, right?
Yeah.
We'll actually be able to see each other on the Vision camera if you have one.
Oh, really?
So you'll be able to see me there, like, in the top screen, like, while I'm doing my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know why you'd want to see McCown, man. That's kind of gross.
So they're like, I got strategies. See me with a big map or something. I see shit going on over here. But it's if they would have just used it more like that, I probably would have got more use out of it. Mine's literally, like, in a drawer. Like, just sitting there. I'm not using it whatsoever.
I leave mine plugged in just, you know, for, I don't know. I don't even know why, to be honest with you.
Just plugged in. So.
Just for visual appeal, I guess. I like the little green light at the top of my TV. But it's still plugged in, but it never gets used.
Well,
ever.
The big thing about the camera that I don't like is that the Vision camera has basically made Uno a porno game. I mean, if you literally go on...
Which is really what it should have been all along.
It's amazing how many stories I read of people like go on Uno, and I've experienced this. You go on Uno and you see some things you really didn't want to see. I mean, a lot of times you
I'm sure the creator of Uno is so proud.
Just go on Uno, it isn't out, or smoking weed in one corner, some butt sex going on in another corner. It's just like, what?
Oh my god.
I'm trying to play Uno.
Now see, that's just ridiculous, because how can you have butt sex and play Uno at the same time?
Uno doesn't take much strategy. It doesn't take much thought to play that. You just press A.
Well, I guess if you're coordinated enough, you could have butt sex and press A at the same time.
It's very possible. But the thing about the PlayStation Eye that really scares me It helps.
I seriously can't believe that we just had an entire conversation that revolved around butt sex and Uno.
There you go.
Has it been that long since I've been on this podcast?
It really has.
I guess.
But the big thing that worries me about the PlayStation Eye is the same thing that has happened with Uno, is where now that you're able to record these videos, upload them, and make them like a YouTube thing, and Sony said they're not going to monitor this. I mean, it's all community-driven.
Oh, dear God.
So it's like when Home comes out, which I'm really excited about Home. You know, you walk around and go in people's apartments. They got videos going on. Imagine walking in some dude's apartment and his big screen TV is just... something you didn't want to see.
Be wow. Like, it's going to be virtual brothels.
Virtual brothels. Oh, jeez. Oh,
home pimping. I'm telling you. It's scary. I do like the implementation of the Eye of Judgment game where you like scan the card with the eye camera and it like creates the monster on screen in the game.
That's pretty cool. I hadn't heard of that.
That's kind of cool. But the question is, after this... after Eye of Judgment, after it first comes out, are they going to make it a vision style again where nobody uses it? That's the kicker.
They're really, I mean, all the cameras that have been released haven't been used, really. I mean, the original PlayStation Eye toy really wasn't that widely used other than, once again, a couple of games that let you scan your face in.
Yeah, like the MLB game.
Right.
And they did the couple of, what were those games? The iToy games.
Right, iToy Play, and I don't remember what the other one was.
The one that
Groove?
Came. Groove,
or
yeah, I think it was called Groove. Yeah, it's just, they used it for like two or three games, and then they just forgot about it.
Right.
And I don't want to see that happen. I'd love it if the Vision camera was used more often. I know the recently released Rayman Raving Rabbids for the 360 uses it. So
nice.
Maybe more developers will start using them, but right now my $40 camera is just useless.
it would be nice on more games to do the kind of the Command & Conquer thing and have kind of a picture-in-picture window of the other person playing while you're playing.
I'm looking forward to that, and I can't wait to try it. So hopefully it'll be good, but hopefully Sony's toy will remedy that, and I really love the microphone built into the camera.
Yeah,
that
it's a great
nice.
Idea.
So you know, the YouTube kind of movies now, you can do it with your PlayStation, which is kind of cool. Alright, so that's it for news. So let's jump into the rumor section, which this is always fun. The first one, I just kind of looked at it and I go, really? But according to a site called Ruliweb, I don't know what that
Ruliweb.
Is. Ruliweb. They've actually got a little tidbit of information that Namco's next Soul Calibur game is going to be on the PSP.
What?
Yeah, Soul Calibur 3 for the PSP.
Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's like...
well, I can just picture the thought process going on there. Hey, we should probably bring out a new Soul Calibur game. Yeah, we should. Let's put it on the 360 and we can put it on live and then everybody can play it online. Nah, fuck that. Let's put it on the PSP.
Where there's nobody will buy it.
Where nobody will buy it. Nobody will play it.
And that way we don't have to get criticized for not having online.
There
it's
you go.
On the PSP's online.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
God, Namco, what happened to you?
That's like saying, okay, that'd be like if EA was like, hey, Madden next year, it's going to be a PC exclusive.
Oh, God. It's going to sell 12 copies.
It's... the thought process there boggles my mind.
I don't understand the PSP stuff. I just don't. I mean, I understand, you know, some games being exclusive to it, but not huge franchises.
No.
It's like God of War 3, exclusive to PSP.
Right. That's a fantastic idea.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Next up on the rumors is some game delays for the 360, which a lot of these bothered me. BioShock being the first, it disappeared from the release list for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of half expected that to get delayed.
Yeah, but it looks so done.
It does. I mean,
it,
and it looks fantastic, too, so it's disappointing that it got delayed, but that's one of those games where I kind of went into it expecting it to get delayed.
Yeah. Obviously, Too Human.
Right.
That's another one that's probably... we're not going to see it till next year.
No, absolutely not. And you know what? If the early indications as to how good it was versus current indications as to how good it was or any sign, then I'm pretty glad that it got delayed.
Yeah.
Because it was looking pretty rough.
It's
actually looking pretty decent, so...
even the new footage still kind of bothers me because the camera's still kind of far
away. Yeah, I'm really, really hesitant about the fact that the player has no control over the camera, basically. That's a little frightening to me.
It is, but you can make it work. Devil May Cry made it work.
Right.
You know, but it's the question of whether or not... Like, when I played Ninja Gaiden Sigma for the PS3, I noticed that I never tried to use the camera, because in the Xbox version, it was always automatic.
Right.
And then they added the new one where, like, in Black, where you could control it by the right analog stick. So I started doing that. I'm like, yeah, this game's a little too fast. I kind of need the camera to do what I need it to do
right.
when I need it to do it. But having control is nice, and I'm still worried about it. But with the four-player online co-op, I'll still...
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of like the whole MMO Lite thing that they got going on with the four-player co-op.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, I'm digging on the... actually, surprisingly enough, I didn't think I would be, but after a couple descriptions, I'm kind of digging on the control scheme, too, with the stick instead of the face buttons doing your attacking
with like
the sword.
Jet Li
and kind of like the Abysmal Blade, too, for PlayStation 2 and Xbox.
We'll talk about Blade, too.
Yeah.
The Jet Li game actually did it.
Yeah, it did.
Well.
Did it very well.
So, hopefully it'll be good, and I have faith in Silicon Knights. I usually
do.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I mean... you know, Legacy of Kain is my favorite game series of all time, so...
You know, they did do Metal Gear the Twin Snakes.
Yes, they did. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on this one.
All right, the next one really hurts because the 360 was supposed to have, like, the biggest summer.
Right.
I mean, you had all these great games coming out, and the biggest one, and this needed to come out before fall, was Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Now there's a rumor that's being pushed back to late 2007, possibly 2008.
Yeah.
And, boo.
You know, it's not that it was unexpected from BioWare to delay a game, but they really... If that would have came out in June or July, it would have sold so many copies because there's everybody looking for a new 360 game. Not everybody's going to enjoy Forza.
No.
You know, Halo doesn't come out until maybe September, probably November.
Right.
Release it in July, June, July, or August. You know, sell a ton, and now they're talking about... There's no official, it's just a rumor, but... And the last one on the list is Blue Dragon, which was supposedly, we reported last week, it was rumored to be pushed up to May 22nd, which is now August.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Lost a few months there.
And that's really uncalled for.
Well,
because
Professor
game,
Chaos will be disappointed.
Yes.
The game's been done in Japan, you know? I mean...
Came out in December of last year.
Exactly. And I've seen, you know, Japanese English translation has taken, you know, just a couple months, you know? So, I mean, it's like, what the heck are they doing?
I really don't know, but it's...
Maybe they're trying to get as much blue out of the dragons as they possibly can.
Yeah, that must be it.
Probably.
All right, last piece of rumor that we have is the next Guitar Hero downloadable packs. And just like, they're probably going to be the same price. Which is what caused the marketplace snowball effect. Everybody threw a fit over the price of the last Guitar Hero packs.
Hey, guess what? I still got mine on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, you do. You do. But that's okay, you know, because having them all in one spot is worth it to me. But still, I do agree that they're very overpriced.
Yeah.
500 points for three songs is a lot of money. But we have rumors of the next three packs that are coming out, and these... once again, solid little collection here. We have the first pack, which will contain Cowboys from Hell by Pantera, I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and Cochise by Audioslave. The second pack will be Godzilla by the Blue
Godzilla.
Oyster Cult.
Cult.
I went Coit.
Coit.
Blue
no.
Oyster Coit.
Coit is a carpet cleaning company.
I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones and The Sharp Dressed Man by ZZ Top. So, another solid pack. And then the third pack is Iron Man by Black Sabbath, Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand, and Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. Which it looks like, again, that they put one song in every pack that everybody wants.
And one song that nobody wants.
One song that nobody wants. So it's the same idea where they're releasing these packs and they're making you want to buy all three of them. Which is brilliant marketing, but I still say should be every song separate. You should just be able to buy the ones you want.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
But what can you do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? All right. So the last piece we have before we jump into our main discussion is new releases for the week. And this week we 360 saw Rayman Raving Rabbids.
Which, you know, I was really, really surprised when I heard that they were going to release that game on the 360. Because it's tailor-made for the Wii controller. So I just, you know, I haven't obviously played it yet on the 360, but I just can't imagine it being as fun as the Wii version was.
Well, what I read about it is it loses a lot in the translation.
I figured it would have.
So, PlayStation 3 finally gets Fear.
Wow.
Beer.
6 months after the 360.
Are we even legally allowed to call that a new release?
I don't know, because it's 6 months after the 360, and the 360 version was a year after the PC
one. Right, exactly.
That's pretty late to the game.
I'm surprised PC hasn't gotten Fear 2 yet.
Yeah, I know. That has to do with, I think, the developer lost the rights to the name.
Oh,
so,
don't.
Yeah. The Wii gets Bionicle Heroes.
Woo!
Yay.
Yes! Another strong release for
another
the Wii.
Strong dumping ground port. PlayStation 2, and this is basically the same list that we had last week. They just got delayed a week. Eureka 7, Volume 2, The New Vision, which is an anime, according to Gamers Con. The Plan, which... Until it comes out, I still don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. It's glad somebody knew what the first one was.
The Resurrected Red Star.
Yeah, what the hell's up with that?
I know, it just came pop out of nowhere.
They're like, oh, by the way, remember that game we told you about a couple years ago, Red Star? Here it is.
Here it is. Well, that has to do with it was a Claim's game.
Right.
And Claim,
Claim, and Claim made Legends of Wrestling.
Yes, they did.
So the gods of gaming fortune were like, you know what? Fuck you guys.
The last PS2 game is Tokyo Extreme Racer Drift 2.
Wow.
So another budget Fast and the Furious game.
Yeah.
And for the PSP, I segged. PSP's Fast and the Furious comes out this week.
Nice.
Also, Generation of Chaos, the Adeus Eclipse, which I reviewed this week. It's not bad. It's just really complicated. Really complicated.
Which is what you want out of a handheld game that
RPG.
You're probably only going to play for a couple hours at a time.
It's, it's deep, but it's, also, this week, The Seven Wonders. I have no idea what that is.
Me either.
Also on the PSP this week, The Cube. Not the GameCube, it's just called The Cube.
Just The Cube.
Probably a puzzle game.
It's a Rubik's Cube simulator.
Hard Rock Casino.
I mean, what can you say about it?
And then obviously, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl came out this week. SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters Clash. And Devilish. Which
Devilish.
I don't know what that is either.
Devilish.
Devilish.
So,
you know, you're going to skip the PC games?
Well, we don't do PC.
Well,
you know.
There might be some PC lovers listening to the podcast.
Probably
not.
Yeah, Made Man came out. There you go. That's all we need.
And Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. All right, so
my voice just cracked like I was 13 years old.
Yeah, you know. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be jumping into our main discussions, which will include, of course, the 360 versus the PS3, the impact of the Wii on the market, and what will be the next generation... Or the next great evolution, our forum topics, and then our top 10 list. So stick with us, and we'll be right back. Back for our main discussions here, and the first thing we're going to talk about is the Xbox 360 versus the PS3. We actually got a couple requests to discuss this on the forums, and I think it's basically because this has turned into a giant war of the fanboys.
It has, actually. It's actually just like every generation.
It really is, but this one has gotten really nasty because people take it to like an extreme, and we discussed this about the Devil May Cry coming to the 360 and the giant petition about how all these guys weren't going to play it, weren't going to buy it because it was coming to the 360.
So ridiculous.
And it's gotten to the point where it's frustrating, and it's like exclusive games don't even exist anymore. It's like Final Fantasy 13. I've heard that it's going to be announced sometime this summer that it's not exclusive anymore.
Ouch.
So, there's only one...
You know what, though? I mean, I can understand... you know, obviously I understand that people, you know, can't afford every system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But to purposely not play something on another system, to miss out on an experience because, it's on the 360.
Yeah.
Or, it's on the PlayStation. I'm not going to play it. Is ridiculous.
Well, what it boils down to is just stupidity of people, you know, and thinking that just because the game... And it just goes to show that these guys these days are not gamers. Because gamers don't play systems, they play games.
Exactly.
And that's the way it's always been. And, you know, when I was a kid, if there was a Genesis game, I played it on the Genesis. You know, if it was a Super Nintendo game, I played it on the Super Nintendo. I didn't care.
And, I mean, the thing about it back then was that it was more of a situation then where, at least most of the people I know, myself included, you were only going to have either Nintendo or Genesis. You might be lucky and have both, but a lot of people only had one or the other.
Yeah.
And it was a situation where, yeah, there was a little bit of the whole fanboy jealousy where a game would come out on Nintendo that the Sega guys liked and they couldn't play it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a situation where, well, I've got both and I'm not playing that because it's on Nintendo. You know what I mean? It's which is just completely ridiculous to me. I just don't understand it.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And the big thing about the 360 versus the PS3, I don't understand it because the 360, you know, regardless of its problems, the breaking systems, you know, the overpriced hard drive, you know, lack of Blu-ray player, if you can really call that a disadvantage, but it has just an incredible library of games.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, it has something for everybody, whereas the PS3 is just really struggling to get ports.
Right.
Out on the shelf. I mean, they're just not getting The Godfather. They're just not getting Fear, you know. And then they're talking about all these games that are coming up, and it's like Lair and Heavenly Sword are on the tips of everybody's tongue.
Right.
And I really don't know what to think of Lair. I love Factor 5. I think they make great games, but I'm still kind of on the fence about that one. Heavenly Sword's had its fair share of negative press, but I'm still kind of excited about it. And I just look at the two systems, and I go, you know, if I had to choose one, it would definitely be the 360.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just by...
Same here. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I am completely perplexed by the concept that, well, this game's coming out on both the PlayStation and the 360, and I'm mad that it's coming out on both. It's like, why do you care if it's coming out on the 360? Why do you care if it's coming out on both?
Exactly.
Why do you care if it's exclusive?
I can't figure out why it would make any difference.
I mean, if you want to play Final Fantasy 13 and you have a PlayStation 3 and it's coming out on both, why do you care if it's coming out on Xbox 360? I don't understand the concept of, you know, I don't want people who have 360s to be able to play this game. It seems like if you really, 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 really like the game, you would want everybody that could possibly play it to play it.
Yeah, and I really get upset when I read, like, what was the last two? The Kane and Lynch and something else that were originally exclusive to the 360 are now going to the PS3. And watching everybody just, like, the PS3 guys going, oh, two more jumping ship. And, you know, I'm like, the 360 people, some of them get are like, oh, we just lost two more. I'm like, you didn't lose them.
Right. They're still coming out on your system.
Why do you care?
You know, the entire marketplace is moving away from exclusivity.
Well, yeah.
So, I don't know. Getting mad about it seems ridiculous to me.
Well, the people that get upset about it, like with Devil May Cry, why are they getting upset? Because Capcom did a business decision.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They looked at the fact that there's 10 million 360 owners.
Right.
And 360 owners love to buy games.
Right.
They buy games constantly. I mean, that's why the attach rate's like 5.6 games per system.
Right.
And, you know, Capcom's saying, well, we'll put this on the 360. We're going to sell 2 or 3 million copies over, you know, how many ever years. Like, that's brilliant.
Right.
Whereas if you just release it on the PS3, you're going to sell a couple hundred thousand.
Right, exactly. If you can expand your customer base from 5 million to 15 million, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
As a company, to stay loyal to a system, there's no such thing as loyalty in the marketplace anymore.
No,
other than Nintendo, and they're just loyal to themselves.
I know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I look at that and I go, well, if a company wants to make a game, and the only games that should be exclusive to the system are first-party games.
Exactly.
So say, like, you know, the developers of... there's two good examples, Insomniac with PlayStation 3.
Right.
They're not owned by Sony, but they only make Sony. They're like a second party, whereas Bungie's the same with Microsoft. They only make 360 games.
Right.
So, and it just... I don't understand it, and it frustrates me because people get so upset about what game is on what system, like it makes it better.
Right.
Like it really does, and it just doesn't. And developers are obviously more leaning towards the 360 because you'll notice that with games like Grawl. Grawl 2 came out already for the 360. It's still not on the PlayStation 3.
Right.
So... And Rainbow Six still isn't out on the PlayStation 3.
Which just blows my mind.
Oh, I know, and Oblivion just came out on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that one...
Well, granted, it was better, but you don't have all the... It's not enough
enough to justify. If, like, I appreciate, and I'm very happy for the people who only have a PlayStation 3, That they're getting Oblivion. For all the people who said, well, I'm going to skip the 360, I'm going to wait for the PlayStation 3, I'm glad they're getting a chance to experience Oblivion, because it's a fantastic game. But if you already have a 360, why haven't you bought it yet on 360?
Exactly. There was no reason to wait, because not only, you know, the game might be graphically a little better, and it includes the Knights of the Nine, they've still not announced that they're going to do any downloadable content.
Right.
Whereas with the 360 version, when you finish it, you can go download, like, the Maroon's Razor,
right,
you know, the Shivering Isles, or whatever,
right,
and you have this whole new experience that you can go play, and they haven't even announced that on the PS3 version
right
yet. So, why they would wait to buy it on the PlayStation 3, I don't understand.
Beyond me.
Graphically, the systems are about equal.
Right. Yeah.
Controller preference, I can understand if you like the PlayStation controller over the 360 controller, but to be honest with you, I can handle about either one of them. They don't really make a difference to me. So you haven't weighed in much about this. How do you feel about it?
Well, here's the thing.
The thing is?
Yeah, the thing is.
That was a new segment last week.
I heard that.
Some of the petition, like, reasonings behind, you know, people not liking the fact that Devil May Cry 4 is coming out for both systems is that they're saying that because it's coming out for 360, it's not going to be as good as it would have originally been if it was just for PS3.
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's BS. Because all the video footage that I've ever seen of Devil May Cry 4, it could have easily been done on a 360.
Well, yeah, graphically it's pretty, but
yeah,
it's not like, I mean, put it next to Gears of War, and you'll see a huge...
Well, yeah, there's a huge difference, but then again, Gears of War is a little bit more of a...
It's a confined game.
It's a confined game, exactly.
Exactly, but, you know, Devil May Cry is a more open game.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, from what I've seen of it, games like Dead Rising, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And from what I heard, Capcom's engine was built on the 360, so Devil May Cry is probably running on that same engine, so I don't understand what the problem is. I mean, I'm not trying to be pro-360 here in any respect. I love my 360. I prefer my 360. PlayStation 3, to me, this so far has been just a huge disappointment because I never play it. I downloaded Mortal Kombat 2. I play that. You know, I play MotorStorm, but I'm pissed because I don't have, like, a time trial kind of mode.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed Resistance, but I didn't love it. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm playing God of War on my PS2. Other than that, there hasn't been a reason for me to power it on. There hasn't been a game that said, I need to play this. And that's just me personally, and I don't understand. I mean, it's like the PlayStation 3 is the 360 Lite to me.
Oh, 360
wow
Lite.
It's like, you're going to catch some flack for that
I
one.
I probably will catch some flack for that one. But listen, my reasons for this are library.
Yeah,
library
absolutely
is, you know, minuscule compared to the 360.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Online functionality. Granted, I pay for Xbox Live, but
you get what you pay for.
I understand why I pay for Xbox Live. Another big thing, and this is me personally, all of my friends have 360s.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
when I buy an online game, do you really think I'm going to play it on the PS3?
Yeah, when you're playing 360, you're amongst friends.
I mean,
whereas when you're playing PS3, you're basically like, yeah, I'm like the only dude out of my whole... You know, out of all my friends who owns a PS3, you know, and...
Not to mention, I mean, even as silly as it seems, I really do think that the smartest thing that Microsoft did with the 360 and the thing that's giving them a real edge in the marketplace with gamers is the achievement point system.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seemed like, when they first announced it, it seemed like it was just kind of a fluff thing, like, oh, yeah, we're going to give you achievement points for accomplishing certain things. But, man... It's become the most addictive...
It is. It's ridiculous.
You know, thing to come out of gaming in a long time. And, I mean, it really does kind of replicate the arcade mania.
Yeah.
The
high
last
scores.
Couple decades with, you know, trying to beat other guys' high scores. It's really really a fantastic idea by them. And it's giving them an edge.
We had a long discussion about this last week because of being spoiled as gamers and that achievement points do spoil the gamer.
Because
when you
heck
get
yeah
a game, it's like having an extra part of the game
right
that you get
exactly
with it. You know?
It's like a
exactly
game within the game, whereas when you get the PS3 version of the same game, it's like you just get the game. And there's no game within the game, you know, the achievement point incentive.
Whoa, dude, that's deep.
Well, another, and Sony is taking a stride to copy this, and I think it's smart because I don't see anything wrong with copying. I think that it's good, and I wish Nintendo would have copied the gamertag thing instead of the Wii code.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous.
Exactly. I don't look forward to playing online with you guys on the Wii and being like, hey, what's your number again? Because, you know, I had to put it in the like little menu, and then I had to put it in the game, and I don't remember it, and it's specific to each game, and oh, God.
It's like, man, I was playing online last night with BGH76964973.
It's very very unpersonal,
yeah,
type
absolutely.
Of online environment.
Yeah, and that's the big thing about, and the thing with PlayStation 3 is like some of the games have their own friends lists, you know.
Yeah, which is really lame.
And I don't really like that. I mean, I love the fact that the servers are free. I love the fact that they're fast. I love the fact that, you know, it's integrated, but still, I would like to be able to do, like, 360, and with home, maybe you can do this, like, where you go into a room with a bunch of people, you hit the button, everybody jumps into the same game. And I would love that, but the problem, once again, rises with me is that nobody owns PS3 except for me.
Right.
So, and there's got to, it's got to say something when developers like Sega will strip online from their games for the PS3. Like, Virtua Tennis 3 is not online for the PS3. Armored Core 4 is online, but it doesn't support voice chat.
Yeah.
So it's like the PS3's network is crippled.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, there's, but to be fair, there are a lot of games on Xbox Live that are crippled as well by poor matchmaking ability.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, if you're going to, on Xbox Live, you should be required to have a matchmaking.
Like Halo.
Right, exactly.
Party
to have,
system.
Like, yeah, party system. Like Halo, to an extent, like Ghost Recon. All the Clancy games, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so many times where you boot up a 360 game and it takes, you know, 20 minutes to try and get everybody together to play a game.
Because I agree, with the paid service, you should get that.
Right.
And I believe you should get dedicated servers. That's just my opinion. But it is a lot easier to do it through the 360 because you could just send a message
right.
to your friend and say, hey, jump into this game with me. Whereas on the PS3, you basically have to call them. Because, you know, the voice chat doesn't transfer over into the game. You can't have a private chat and then jump into a game like you can on the 360. And that's another thing that really cripples it for me.
Yeah, it's very inconvenient.
It is. And it becomes more of a hassle than anything else. And we've just gone into a giant PlayStation 3 hate fest here. And
yeah, we have. It got venomous all of a sudden.
To PS3's defense, they still got Metal Gear 4.
And to PS3's defense, they still got the Spider-Man writing.
The Spider-Man font on
it. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and their version of Spider-Man 3 includes the new Goblin.
Yeah, as an exclusive
as
character.
As a playable character, which actually is really cool.
Yeah, and it really made me want to buy that, but once again, I was spoiled because
like the achievement points
yeah. for the 360
it's like of. It's like achievements... Or new character. Achievements or new character.
I think the thing it should be tempered with is achievements or new character that maybe, possibly, even though they haven't said anything yet, that might release as downloadable content later.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
you never know what's going to happen with that. And the big thing about the difference between buying it on 360 and PS3 is when I play a lot of single-player games, sometimes I'll chat with my friends, you know, while I'm playing a game, like a single-player game, and I can't do that on the PS3. Even if I could do it on the PS3, I have like two or three friends on my friends list on the PS3, so because not very many people own it. So
yeah.
That's another big difference. So, you know, but I think that'll wrap up the 360 PS3 debate, and once again, we continue to...
Oh, come on, you know that's not going to wrap it up.
Well, there'll probably be some backlash coming later.
It might wrap it up for today.
Yeah, this would be like part one.
Right.
Well, kind of keeping with the same theme, the next topic that we wanted to talk about was the Wii's impact on the market.
Oh, Goid.
How this is going to affect the overall gaming market, which, if you've been a gamer for any amount of time, you always know that the rule of gaming is that software drives hardware sales.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
The Wii is breaking that theory.
And not in a good way.
No, it's not in a good
way. And once again, not to you know, be dishing out hate to Nintendo. I'm a huge Nintendo supporter, purchased uh-huh. every system they've ever had.
Yep, me too.
They're absolutely fantastic. But, actually, Zero and I had this conversation the other day. Nintendo has always been about the gimmicks. They have always the robot for NES,
the Virtual Boy,
the the Power Glove, the Power Pad, the Super Scope.
Yep.
You know, the expansion pack, the Rumble pack, all the systems they've ever released have always had some sort of gimmicky hardware attached to it.
Yep.
And with the DS and the Wii, Nintendo has taken that and built an entire system around it. And on the DS, it's actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
But that's because it's a handheld system.
That works better as a handheld.
Right. It's not a console. And the reason that we're seeing now, you know, low software support for the Wii is the same reason there's not, you know, 80 or 90 light gun games a year. Because, you know, not all games need gimmick support. And most developers don't want to develop around a gimmick.
No, they want to develop the game and build the functionality into it. Like, and that's another thing I'll give PS3 credit for is the six-axis. You know, they don't build the game around the controller. The controller gets built around the game.
Right.
So, like in Lair, sometimes when you're in a fight or something, you'll flip the controller to the side and it'll dodge. Whereas opposed to as just flying, you know, all the time and doing everything with the motion. And I think that's better, whereas with Wii games, they try to force you to use the motion control for everything in the game. And it really makes for some, you know, some not-so-good games.
Yeah, because a lot of games, the motion control feels broken.
Yeah, it does. Like with SSX Blur, which was built specifically for the Wii, the controls to me were very, you know, non-intuitive. You know, I'm used to just playing it like normal, and then I'm trying to play it with the Wiimote. It's not as precise.
Which is the exact opposite of what Nintendo was originally trying to do.
Yeah, they want to replace the control scheme with a motion control, and it's just not at the level where you can do that.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's close to the level, but it's like close but no cigar.
Right. Well, and two, I think, to me, the entire concept of the Wii and motion control is the concept is too far ahead for the software and actually some of the hardware.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wii controller is very, very sensitive. It's a lot more responsive than I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to be honest, some of the motions, some of the gestures don't quite feel right with just a stick in your hand.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's a situation where I think the concept is fantastic, and I think, you know, in a couple years, it might be something where we're going to, you know, say, wow, how did we not, you know, enjoy this before? But I think that the hardware and the software is going to have to make a leap up to that before it's going to seem...
Well, another thing that I think drives it down to the hardcore gamer is that we do love pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves pretty.
Everybody
loves
pretty.
To see, like, Gears of War graphics, blood going everywhere. Not necessarily blood, but just beautiful environments. And developers can't do that on the Wii with the limited hardware functionality. It's just like comic books. Do you want to read a comic book that doesn't have big guns, big tits, big, you know, whatever, everything in the comic? You look at comic book people, and they're drawn to fantasy.
Right.
Which is what video games are.
Yeah, it's like the 360 would be like Jim Lee artwork doing Superman or Batman, and then the Nintendo Wii is like reading an Archie comic book.
Right.
Yeah, it's really, you know, as far as graphics go, that's the way it is, and gamers have come to expect that. Like, if you read, like, 360 gamers when they play a game like Earth Defense Force 2017, they're like, this game looks like shit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't look like Gears of War,
right.
It doesn't look like Ghost Recon, but it was still fun. But at the same time, when you play with the Wii, you know, it's like you're playing, you know, a GameCube caliber visual game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you get the motion control. And developers love pretty. They love to do that. I mean, it's just like an artist. An artist doesn't want to draw circles and squares the rest of their life.
Right.
You know, so that's another thing that I think holds it back from some people.
Too, it's, I mean, the motion sensing is sort of a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, it does, I mean, developers as, you know, by their nature, are very creative people.
Yeah.
And on one hand, the motion control lends to that creativity because it allows them to use the controller in new ways. But it stifles creativity on the other hand, because if you're in a think tank and you're trying to think up an idea for a game, if it's on the 360 or the PS3, you can just say, wow, I think it would be really awesome to have this and this and this and this and this and this and this. I think that would be really cool. Whereas on the Wii, if you're developing the same game, you have to say, wow, it would be awesome if we could have this, 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 and this. But we have to figure out a way to make the controller work.
Yeah, exactly.
Within the context of this.
They spend too much time worrying how to work it into the controller.
Exactly.
Instead of actually just making the game good.
Right. For the same way, and I mean, it's the same concept, like to bring it back to the light gun games, even though it's not obviously the same peripheral, but it's the same situation where if you're playing a light gun game, the developer has to put, you know, built into that ways to work around the gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the same way for the Wii controller, only it's every game.
Yeah, and it limits the gameplay.
Right.
It really does, because you can't do everything with motion control.
Right.
You just can't. It's not possible. And I really like the way Zelda did it, which is kind of funny because Zelda didn't use it all the time.
Right.
It just kind of threw it in at certain spots and made you use it sometimes, which is the way it should be. But if you try to build the entire game around a controller, it just...
Right.
It's just broken 99% of the time.
And now I will give Nintendo this for Zelda. I love the feeling of controller in left hand, controller in right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do love sort of the mobility that you get out of that. I love the feel of it. But when it comes back to the whole gimmicky aspect, that's when it causes a problem.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of people say that, like, when they're playing Wii games now, they feel like they want to fuse the two remotes
together
and actually play like a regular controller, and that shouldn't be happening.
No, it shouldn't be.
I mean, if it is what Nintendo wanted it to be, it should be. But this brings us right back around to what the conversation was about, that Nintendo may be single-handedly ruining the market with this. And it's because people are buying the hardware but not buying the software.
Right,
because
exactly.
Because there is no software to buy.
Exactly. If you walked up to the average consumer and the average non-video game playing consumer,
yeah,
and said, do you want a Wii? They'd probably say, well, either, yeah, I want one, or, yeah, my kids want one.
Yeah.
And you said, well, what games do they want for it? Silence.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing out there grabbing the market's attention. Zelda grabbed the market's attention at launch.
Yeah, but it's kind of been forgotten lately.
But there's nothing out there now that's grabbing, you know, the general populace's attention.
No, I mean, there's been like you said, WarioWare was one,
right.
Super Paper Mario was one, but there's not been a steady flow of software, and we're almost 6 months into the console's
right.
life. So we
yeah.
should have more games. Like, 360, some people say the launch sucked. Which, there were some bad games on
right.
it, you know, there were some ports, but overall, they had covered almost every base outside of RPG,
right.
so there was
mm-hmm.
something for everybody.
Well, and two, 6 months after launch, I mean, we had a lot of solid games
in
the 360.
I mean, you look 6 months after launch, like in March, April, you had Oblivion, you
right.
had Ghost Recon, you know, you had these games coming out, and you had good stuff. You had stuff that was keeping players addicted to the games.
Right.
Whereas with the Wii, Super Paper Mario and WarioWare have been it. And WarioWare is questionable at best because not everybody wants to pay $50 for a 20-minute game.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that's
yeah.
the thing. Some people like these grandiose adventures that they want to go through and they want to spend
mm-hmm.
20, 30, 40 hours in them, and there hasn't been one outside of Zelda. People also like racing games. There hasn't been a solid racing game for the Wii yet.
Yeah, and the racing games on the Wii are kind of,
And you know what? That's just the thing. I figured there would be a lot of great racing games coming out for the Wii just because the controller lends itself to it.
Exactly.
I mean, they even have the steering wheel peripheral for it.
But
you know
I think
what I mean?
It's a lot of the great racing game developers, though, they want pretty. That's
yeah.
what goes back to that.
Yeah.
You know, they want, like, Project Gotham, Forza, Gran Turismo. They want the game to be beautiful. They want to add all this stuff into it. And with the limitations of the Wii hardware, I don't even know you could do 300 different manufactured cars.
Right. That's
I
absolutely.
Don't know that you could.
You know what? I really, really, really want? This might be slightly off topic, but it's on the Wii, so I'm going to bring it up. I really want the Pilot Wings for the Wii because it's perfect for the controller.
Yeah.
And I really want them to do some of the games that maybe people forgot about. You remember the whole FX phase that they went through with the Super Nintendo?
Stunt Race FX.
Yeah, Stunt Race FX. You don't have to do FX, obviously, because they don't have
yeah.
the chip anymore, but
yeah.
Stunt Race would be a fantastic game for the Wii.
Yeah.
Dirt Tracks, which was also Dirt Tracks FX, would be a fantastic game for the Wii.
Yeah.
Star Fox would be perfect.
They have great franchises that they're just not
they're
utilizing
not, right.
right now.
Exactly.
I mean, I've sat around so many times, and I tell you, if it wasn't for Mario Galaxy, I would probably trade my Wii in. I mean, I can't see software-wise anything that I want for the next, like, 6 months.
Right.
And that shouldn't be the way it is, whereas with the 360, I'm buying two or three games a month. PS3, you know, I have a few games that I want, but the Wii? I pre-ordered Mario Party yesterday, and I don't know why. I'm like, well, there's, like, nothing else coming out. I'm like, well, what Wii games are coming out? Well, Mario Party comes out in May. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, it's like, and that just disappoints me because I want more Nintendo games, and unfortunately it's turning into the GameCube again.
Yeah, which scares me.
It does.
Well, hopefully in the future it will turn into like the console equivalent to the DS.
But what the problem therein lies is that this system has broke almost 6 million units in less than 6 months. And I can't figure out what they're selling it for. That's the biggest issue right there.
Yeah, which is a problem, but at the same time, I feel that... Because the reason why I think there's like not that many projects on the Wii or not that many games out and coming out in the near future is because I think a lot of the companies are having like a whole wait... they were having a whole wait-and-see type of moment with
Absolutely.
The Wii. And now that they know that there's a lot of Wii owners, I think a lot of game developers are going to start developing Wii games. And
because they can see the installed user base now, and they're going to say, wow, you know, there's a lot of customers out there. We could probably make some money off these guys. But, I mean, then again, if it comes down to it, if you're a developer and you have a limited amount of resources, are you going to want to develop a game for the 360 or PS3 where, you know, you can develop it around a, you know, traditional control scheme? And I'm not talking about, you know, your independent, creative, you know, creativity-driven developers. I'm talking about the people who want to make money. Are you going to develop it for, are you going to spend the time and money to develop it for the 360 and the PS3 with a huge, you know, installed base already? Or are you going to take the time to develop it around the controller for the Wii for those 6 million customers?
Exactly. I think that a lot of companies will probably go either way.
What worries me the most about this whole situation, though, is if the Wii does take over, it wins, and developers go into making games, you know, a lot more for the Wii, it becomes the main console. Is that taking a step backwards or forwards?
I think it might be just... stationary, actually.
Because, you know, as a gamer, what do you expect with every new console? What are your main expectations?
Yeah. Better graphics better and graphics. Better performance.
Exactly.
Performance,
and
yeah.
You're not getting that with the Wii.
Yeah, the Wii is, you know, like the 360 and the PS3 are next gen. The Wii is new gen. So I mean,
it's kind of one and a half gen.
it's like a sidestep. It's not really a step. It's not a step forward, but at the same time, it's not really a step back in the way it is. But in the way it's more of just a sidestep going into a new direction, I think that the next generation, you know, the next generation, is going to be very odd, I think, because of all the game developers are going to be torn between, you know, the traditional gaming and, like, could we have motion control or maybe something else, like the whole camera. Like maybe motion controller intermixed with the camera doing motions on a camera, you know?
Now, I mean, the other thing I think, too, and this is, you know, not as huge a deal, obviously, but to me it seems as if the Wii, obviously, as a system, caters more towards the casual gamer than the hardcore gamer.
Oh, yeah.
The control lends itself to the casual gamer. A lot of the games that have come out so far, like Wii Sports, lend themselves to the casual gamer. But Nintendo, as a company, has been, for a long time, sort of the earmark of the hardcore gamer. And so there's kind of this split in their fan base where, you know, the casual gamers want the Wii, but they don't really know what games are out for it. The hardcore gamers are going to buy it because it has Nintendo on it, but there's no games they want to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, and once again, it all comes down to software support.
And it's sad because, let me put it to you in a term that you might understand. If the Wii ends up taking over, it ends up becoming the number one console, your favorite franchise, Final Fantasy, is going to, you know, they're going to bring it out, it's going to look like ass. It's not going to have its full motion video CGI cutscenes. It's probably not going to have dialogue. And it's going to have waggle motion control.
Well, they
do
are.
You want to step back and play it that way, or do you want to play it on the PS3 with these gorgeous lifelike visuals, giant locales, beautiful graphics? What do you want? Music, you know, 5.1, 7.1, Dolby Digital, surround, blowing your eardrums, making them bleed? Or would you rather be able to waggle? See, and I do it that way because it's a game you like. Imagine Grand Theft Auto on the Wii. looking worse than the PS2 version with Waggle. Do you want that, or do you want that gorgeous video that we saw where there's like people on the streets, like laying on the stairs, you know? That's not going to be in a Wii version.
Yeah, that's true. Thing is, though, I think the Wii games are going to be in different genres anyway. I don't really see that much of an immersive open world environment type of genre within the Wii. The Wii is basically going to be kind of more of an arcadey, quick fix type of games, I think, overall for pretty much its whole life.
But right. If it becomes the number one selling console and the franchise's Switch boat.
Well,
that's the thing, because look at Capcom. They said, hey, Devil May Cry's not going to sell a ton on the PS3, mm-hmm. so we're going to make it on a 360 too. By the time Devil May Cry comes out, there may be 15 to 20 million Wiis on the market.
Right. Yeah.
So they may make that number one lead platform. You imagine the next Resident Evil only on Wii or starting on Wii?
Well, light gun Resident Evil game looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, but should we talk about Dead Aim?
Yeah, I was about ready to say, man, they've tried that before.
They're not calling it that.
No, they're not, because they want people to forget about it, but it's the same idea.
Right.
It's an on-rails kind of light gun type of game.
Yeah, thing is, though, visually, I think it looks good.
It looks like Resident Evil 4.
Yeah,
Would you want Resident Evil 4 graphics, or do you want that Resident Evil 5 graphics that you saw?
Well, yeah,
because think about it. A game like Resident Evil lives off of the fear, scaring mm-hmm. people. You want it to look better and better and better mm-hmm. and better. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to stay the same or go backwards.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. There's a Japan is kind of weird. Over in Japan, they sell a ton of DSs and a ton of Wiis. And it's almost like they're saying, you know, we don't give a crap about graphics. We're just in it for the gameplay. And then the whole becomes the whole subject of gameplay versus graphics.
Right.
And you know what's crazy? It's almost like it's like a whole political thing, kind of like, you know, Republicans and Democrats, you know? So in the future, you're going to have these people who are like, gameplay is more important, and then you're going to have people that say, no, the graphics are more important. But then everybody's just going to forget a time when games are coming out that were pushing both gameplay and graphics within the same title.
Now, see, here's my argument about that. People say gameplay over graphics. I'm sorry, but my gameplay on the 360 is more entertaining to me than waggling my hands in most of these Wii games.
Exactly, because the Wii, the Wii Remote is, from what I've experienced, is kind of an imprecision control scheme. You know, it doesn't work all the time, and that's pretty lame when it comes to a video game.
And the other thing, and this is the complete opposite of what I expected, you take three of the big Nintendo releases that, you know, one of them hasn't come out yet, but Zelda, Paper Mario, Super Smash Bros. Melee. Zelda, very limited use of the waggle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you could use it to control the sword, but you didn't have to if you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Super Paper Mario, even more limited use of the waggle.
Yeah, it's very rare.
You can use it to give yourself a little extra experience when you jump on somebody, and you can use it to point at the screen to you know, kind of tell you what certain things are. But other than that, not essential to gameplay. You look at Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Doesn't use it at all.
And it's amazing to me. It's like, if you're Nintendo, why did you go through the trouble of having, you know, this innovative new control scheme if three of your biggest first-party games aren't even going to take full advantage of it?
Well, it's the same with, like, DS, too. Like, the new Pokemon game very rarely uses the touchscreen.
Yeah, right. You're right.
It's kind of like, to me, it's almost like Nintendo admitting that, yeah, you know, this control scheme is limited, so we're not gonna use it for our big-name titles. We're gonna kind of skirt around it and tack it onto the back, but we're not going to worry about basing the entire game around it.
Yeah, and the only game that breaks that theory is Metroid.
Right,
but it's
exactly.
not made by Nintendo. It's made by Retro Studios.
Right.
So it's not even a Nintendo game, but it's like admitting that they know.
Right. That's exactly what it is. It's like saying, yeah, we know you guys want a new Super Smash Brothers, and we know that it won't work with this controller.
Exactly.
So we're going to make you use the classic controller.
Well, look at the best-selling DS game of last year, Super Mario Brothers, the new Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
It didn't even use a touch.
Right.
I mean, it didn't even use it. So, except for, like, touching the release mushrooms or whatever, but still. So I find it funny because I'm very happy that Nintendo's doing well with the Wii. I am.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But I don't like the fact that it's selling based on no software.
Right.
Because the 360 right now, as far as software goes, next-gen systems, it's the best.
Right.
Obviously, PS2 is still the best overall.
Right.
But for next-gen systems software-wise, you can't touch 360's library.
No, you can't.
I go into EB, and it's like the whole back wall. It's just there's something for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, there's something. The JRPGs are a little limited, but, you know, they're fixing that with Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon and all that stuff. But still, you know, Namco's bringing out Katamari Damacy for the 360.
Right.
So it's like everybody notices that it's doing well, but people still hesitate to buy it.
Right.
Because it's not Sony, it's not Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of, anti-Microsoft people. They're like, oh, it's Microsoft. It's Bill Gates. He's
Linux,
the devil,
Linux,
you know?
Linux.
Linux. Put in your Linux.
Yeah.
Well, people said the same thing when Sony came out. And look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you guys make Walkmans playing any of your games.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we went on that one enough. So let's jump right into the next piece, which is what will be the next great innovation. And this kind of ties really well with this. We've got 1080p HD graphics. We've got 7.1 Dolby Digital sound. We have, you know, these beautiful visuals, gorgeous bump mapping, normal mapping, all that. We got motion control, everything going on. What's going to be next? What's going to make you go, oh, my God, this is next gen?
Holographic projection.
Why do we always go to this? Why do we always go to
this? I want to be like we are at Star Wars, where there's a little projector and it puts up a holographic 3D image. I want a little ball to fly around and shoot lasers at me so I can deflect it with my lightsaber.
Well, here's the reason why I said this is because I read in an electronics magazine that sometime in the next decade they're going to start releasing holographic television sets.
That are going to be asshole expensive.
Well, yeah.
I mean, wow.
Here's what I'm gonna throw this off kilter because I think you're thinking too far ahead. Here's what I want next gen: no loading times. No physical media.
You see,
downloadable distribution of everything.
You see, yeah, you're right.
I agree with you that
would be so much more convenient.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that that's the way they're sort of going. I mean, you know, the Xbox and PS3 marketplaces are sort of pioneering the first steps towards that now. And, you know, PC, you can't go on a website without seeing a link for download this game today.
Yeah.
But there is a certain segment of the population that wants the hard copy.
They do.
They want the box. They want the book.
Yeah.
They want it, you know, on a shelf.
Well, they should start with doing both.
Right.
Maybe only manufacturing about half to, you know, two-thirds of it on hard media and making it, you know, less limited in the store so that people that still want it can go buy it, but also offer it as a download.
Right.
And with this, you're going to need bigger storage, obviously. I mean, you're going to need a huge hard drive for this.
Terabyte hard drive
built
in.
I mean, and you know, you could do that. What's some of the other things I'd like to see? I mean, obviously we got wireless now, so that's not an issue.
Right.
One thing I would like is wireless connections.
Yeah.
For the TV and the power, which power is probably not.
No, that's going to happen there.
Somebody should invent that shit. I'm telling you right now.
But the wireless connection for the TV would be fantastic.
The power, here's what you could do. You could do just like the batteries in the controller. Get like a little charging station that plugs into the back of the system. So, I mean, you can take it like for instance here.
Yeah, but man, you're going to have some big ass batteries.
Well, that's what the future of technology is. Going to shrink power supplies, you know. Even though the 360 brick could catch ghosts in it.
Yes,
you know?
It could. Yes, it could. There was an intruder in my house the other day. I beat him to death with the Xbox brick.
You could do that. I mean, literally.
How about this for an idea? How about this? A controller, right, that when you take it away from the system, you can take it with you and still use it as an MP3/movie player.
It's got a little screen on it?
Yeah, like kind of like the
The Dreamcast?
The Dreamcast,
with the BMU?
But much smaller. a lot smaller.
Basically, you know? Like, well, maybe like the PSP.
Yeah, maybe about the same size as the PSP.
With that beautiful widescreen screen on it, so you yes. can watch your media wherever you want. Which Sony's kind of doing this with the Anywhere Connect with the PSP, where you can watch right. all the stuff on your PS3.
It would be kind of neat, though, to have sort of a situation like we had with the Dreamcast, where some of the games that you had for Dreamcast, mm-hmm. once you saved a game on the VMU, there was like a little mini game you could kind of play
yeah,
on the VMU.
Yeah, I like that.
It'd be kind of nice to have a controller that once you were done playing the game on the console, say you had to leave, you could play sort of a dumbed down version of it on the controller. And maybe, you know, even enhance your progress in the actual game once you go back. Just play like a dumbed down graphically version, and then once you go back to the console version, it upgrades your progress from
or
the handheld
version. Or
you
can just do like the arcade games, like Xbox Live Arcade on the controller.
There you go.
You take
yeah,
it anywhere that, with you.
That'd be sweet. And then when you get achievements, you could get achievements while being away from the system.
Exactly. And I think that's cool. Like, I like the integration of Windows Live where they're doing that, where like you can play Bejeweled on your PC or on the 360 and still earn achievements or whatever.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think that's cool. I think that they should do something like that. So that's definitely a cool. I would like that. Which
yeah.
they're kind of moving towards that too. So, you know, holographics and virtual reality and all that stuff. I think
like,
you're a little too far.
Yeah, that's like next you know, gen.
That's PS9.
And also, even though we've been kind of ripping on it, I think the motion sensitivity for the Wii, like I said, you know, it's just a situation where the hardware and the concept are too far apart at this point.
Yeah,
but I think that the motion sensing concept in the future, once the hardware and software sort of catches up to it,
yeah.
is going to be huge.
That's why I like the PS3's integration of it, because
right.
it's just minimal now.
Right.
Very minimal.
Right.
So.
Until you get working power gloves.
Definitely. All right. So we're going to take one last break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the forum topics and run down our top 10 most ridiculous achievements available.
Ridiculous.
So, Mr. Khan, give me that call out sign. Back for the last segment, and for this one we're going to run down some forum topics and then list our top 10 most ridiculous achievements ever.
Ridiculous.
Alright, so the first forum topic we have was start by, and I fail this name every time. X Judici? Is that how you pronounce it? He needs to send me a PM.
Wait a minute, he's from Jodeci?
No, not Jodeci.
Oh.
But his topic is games for girls, and this spun off into a little bit of offensiveness here and there,
oh,
and some really funny
that's
stuff.
That's not good.
The first one, obviously, people started recommending Viva Pinata.
Yeah.
Somebody recommended Fight Night Round 3 and Madden.
Wait, what?
For me, I'm actually in this thread. I say Guitar Hero, and that seemed to be a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
Cameo, and then R.U. Joshin said, or you could buy her a Barbie.
Wow. Ouch.
Everybody's saying Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Cameo, Viva Pinata, Lego Star Wars, Viva Pinata, DDR. That's always a good one.
Yeah.
Table tennis.
I like the picture.
Yeah. Any sports games or racing or kiddie games will do good for your girlfriend.
Wow. Kiddie games.
Kiddie games.
Wow. One guy said that... that his girlfriend hated Viva Pinata because she got bored and just hitting the ground, hitting the little girl at the beginning.
Yes. That is awesome.
Oh, let's see what else is. They got into an argument about Guitar Hero, and then the last one was from That Whore, who said Burnout Revenge works every time, which
nice.
Is true.
Yeah,
Burnout
and
Revenge.
I'll tell you, I'll throw another one in there. My fiance loves Wii Bowling.
Oh,
absolutely loves it.
Wii Sports is awesome. Everybody loves Wii.
And actually, she loves Karaoke Revolution as well, but she won't play it when I'm home.
Exactly. Everybody loves that game, but nobody wants to play it when anybody else is around.
See, I can't play it when there's nobody around. I feel really awkward playing it by myself.
That's the way I am with Guitar Hero. I'm like, I just don't want to play unless there's other people around. I don't know why that is. All right, the next one was started by Grifter024, and his was the best gaming moment. Now, this one spawned some good answers. He started off with his 52 hyper hit combo on Killer Instinct, which, yeah.
Hyper
combo! Perfect Dark's multiplayer and the Flood from the BS Police. Wolfgang187 says Super Mario World. There's a level with a long ledge and a tiny space under the ledge on the bottom of the screen. He was convinced that if he could fly with the cape the entire distance under the ledge, it'd be some reward.
And then the screen ended and he died. That's a great sentence right there.
A lot of Halo 2, like getting Kiltaculars and all that stuff. Let's see, what else was scrolling down through here? Oh, Shadow of the Colossus. That's a good one. First time you see one of those giant just monstrosities that you have to climb up. Mother Brain on the NES.
Yes.
Playing through Super Metroid. The mutated guy in the locker in Condemned. That was a good one. Let's see. I saw some other really good ones down here. Silent Hill 4 is mentioned. Arbiter and Halo 2. Oh, yeah, the Yuna and Tidus laughing like maniacs from Happy Gamer. That was disturbing. Psychomanus.
Yeah.
That's a classic one.
Yeah, it is.
Torching a marching band with gasoline in Postal 2 from the snake.
Wow. If that's your best gaming memory, I'm a little frightened.
Beating Chrono Trigger from Brian. Let's see. Super Mario Brothers, the wizard actually gave you enough information to get to level 8 easily. Let's see. Guitar Hero 2 for the first time. 25 kills and 0 deaths in Halo 2. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
Let's see. It was
I wonder if he called a bunch of people effing noobs while he was doing it.
The end of Fallout 1, which I don't know that. You should send me a PM, Captain Tuttle, and tell me what that was, because I'm interested. The spitting contest in Monkey Island.
Which is just great.
Yeah. Motocross Madness. That was a great game. From Baba Brooks. Let's see. Scroll down. Beating Street Fighter 2 on one credit. Nice.
Oh, that's solid.
That is.
Me, actually, one of my favorite gaming memories is when we first got a Super Nintendo playing Street Fighter 2 for hours and hours and hours with my stepbrother trying to beat it with everybody.
Yeah. It's playing on the Xbox Live, man. I remember how hard that game was.
Yeah, it is. Well, it doesn't help that people cheat on Xbox Live.
Well, yeah, you know. Super Mario, the Unlimited Lives cheat, that was pretty good. Lots of God of War 1 and 2 in here, which those are both phenomenal games. So,
I'm surprised there's not more 8-bit or 16-bit stuff on there.
Yeah, like Mega
I really
Man.
Am. Mega Man.
Mega Man's a good one. Or the climbing the Infinite Tower in Wizards and Warriors.
Oh my god.
Falling all the way down.
That game has to be the biggest achievement I've ever done in a game is beating Wizards and Warriors because of that tower.
That tower is ridiculous.
You know what else is a cool gaming moment? Actually, it is for me. I don't know if it is for most people, but Mega Man 2, when the dragon.
Oh,
when the, like, it just the lights come on and the dragon's there.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid going, oh my god, there's a big dragon!
And it's chasing me while I'm jumping on these little platforms.
Alright, the last thread, I just kind of want to point attention to this thread because it's incredibly well put together. But it started by Aquanox. It's called the Xbox 360 exclusive and semi-exclusive upcoming games. And he has listed all of them, screenshots, info, links to videos. I mean, it is just an incredibly impressive thread. And you just need to go look at it and just be in awe of how many for everybody that says there's no 360 games on the market, yeah, go read this thread.
Yeah, and if you still think that there's still no 360 games coming out, then you might want to get another hobby.
Yeah, because this list goes on and on and on and on and on, and it's
Jesus.
Just ridiculous. Yeah, we're scrolling down looking at it right now, and it's just amazing how many games are coming.
Something for everybody, and if you're a hardcore gamer, just a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
And kudos to the thread starter for that one.
That's an impressive
thread. Very well put together.
Very easy to read, very easy to flip through. Really good, and I actually read it a couple times, and I know about most of the games, and it just made me excited more about them. All right, so that's going to bring us into our top 10 list, and we're going to have fun with this one because, as anybody who listens to this show knows, there's quite a few achievement whores running around in this podcast. And today we're going to run down the top 10 most ridiculous achievements. And basically what that means is these are 10 achievements that most gamers will never see. These are, I mean, the requirements for getting these are so absolutely ridiculous that most people will never spend the time nor the effort to get any of these. Yeah. The first one up on the list is the X-Men. It's actually called being an X-Men. And you get 50 points just for gaining the other 950.
Which is just ridiculous. Here's an achievement for getting achievements.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. And the reason why most people will never get this, because two or three levels into it, you're going to realize just how bad the game was.
Right, yeah.
And that you didn't want to go back and play through multiple times in the levels.
It's pretty bad.
The second one on the list is Totem Ball.
Which is just also awesome.
Yeah, and there's an achievement for playing for 20 minutes without taking a break. And anybody who's ever played this game, you have to play with your arms like out like you're flying.
Right.
Like at each side. And just try to do that for 5 minutes.
Well, and not to mention, try to play Totem Ball for 5 minutes because it's terrible. I mean, terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The next one up on the list is Burnout Revenge, getting one of your downloadable clips into the top 20. You know, I did this, and I cheated to do this. I had somebody, like I recommended it to one of my other profiles and then went and downloaded it and canceled it and did it again. It took me 4 hours to do that by just faking it.
Anyone who questions the geek level of Zero Tolerance, just go back and listen to that part again where he just talked about spending 4 hours getting an achievement for Burnout Revenge.
But the thing is that this achievement also created what is known as Xbox Live Spam, where everybody would just spam all their friends to download their clip over and over and over again just to get this achievement, which is retarded. The next one is the Gears of War. The achievement is really called, seriously, it's for getting 10,000 kills online in ranked matches. And if anybody who's played Gears of War knows, the maximum number of kills you can get per game is 4. Because there's only 4 players on each team and it's a team-based game. So 4 kills a game for 10,000 kills. Realize how long that would take you?
Jeez.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Wow. That, just, wow. All if right. I see anybody with that achievement on their profile, I'm going to call them and tell them to get a wife or a girlfriend or a dog.
A dog.
Because seriously.
Seriously. That's why it's called seriously.
Yeah.
All right, the next one is Bullet Witch. The game is really evil because it gives you 1 point, one achievement point, for beating the game in Hell Mode, which is the hardest difficulty in the game.
That's just mean.
Yeah, and it's really hard on Hell Mode, and just finishing it by itself, but you get 1 point.
Wow.
And you know why they did that? Because, you know, people can't stand to have their gamer score not even.
No.
So you get the 99 points for playing for 15 hours, and then if you want to make it even, you have to beat it on Hell Mode to get 1 point.
Wow.
So, yeah. That's
I don't
ridiculous.
Think my gamer score is still even from stupid Grawl.
Yeah, Grawl and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, mine's messed up, and Luxor 2, mine's messed up from that, too. Next one up on the list is any achievement in Final Fantasy XI. And basically, this is because all of the achievements are reaching level 70 in the game.
Wow.
Which, we know of a reader, Speedwag, who's been playing for... Oh, what was his last count? Like 190 days logged in the game, and he still doesn't have one. Actually, one person on my friends list finally got one. Scarface got one.
That's just...
One achievement. It's worth 30 points.
190, you said, days?
Days.
Of your life in Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a third of the year that you're never going to get back.
Exactly. So
That's a half a year.
Yeah.
My math sucks. That you're never going to get back.
Yeah, and he's been playing it for, like, what, about a year and a half now?
Yeah, so he's played a lot.
A third of his time.
It's been
literally.
On Final Fantasy XI. A lot of that comes from him falling asleep while he's playing.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, the next one up is Smash TV. Now, anybody that can do this, you're God to me. But beat the entire game from start to finish without ever using a continue.
Wow.
It's worth 50 points.
That's
yeah, because that game was made for taking your token.
Yeah, it was.
Oh. All right, next up is Dead or Alive Extreme 2, any of the friend-making achievements. Now, if anybody's played this game, you get an achievement for collecting all the swimsuits, blah, blah, blah. But in order to make a friend, you have to give that friend every single swimsuit. Now, if you've played the game, swimsuits are expensive. It will literally take you, I don't know how long, to buy one. And I think each girl has, like, almost 100. So in order to make one friend, you have to buy all 100, become her friend well enough to give her all of them and have her accept them. I mean, you're talking literally hundreds and hundreds of hours.
So pretty much, if you get the friend-making achievement in DOA, you probably don't have any friends.
I tried to play it. I was like, oh, I can get some achievements in this game. And I'm like, no, I can't. I bought like 10 swimsuits. I'm like, yeah, I'm not buying any more because I'm really getting tired of da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, God.
Wow. All right, the next one up on the list is Dead Rising 7-Day Survivor. Now, this may not sound like much because you can survive a long time in Dead Rising, but to play Survivor mode, you can't save, you can't stop playing, and you have to stay alive, and it's just constant random zombies. If you don't eat, your health goes down. So it's ridiculous. It takes hours upon hours to last 7 days in that game, and you've got to do it in one sitting. You cannot stop, and you have to eat. So you can't just find like a spot and sit there and let your game run. No, because you have to eat. Otherwise, you will die. It's really hard. And the last one up on our list is Hexic HD, and I've probably put 50 hours in this game, and I still can't do this, but create a flower of black pearls.
I'm still not convinced that it's possible.
You know, and for anybody who hasn't played the game, in order to earn a black pearl, you have to create a flower of the regular ones. And then that creates one of the special jewels, the star jewels. Now you have to create a flower of star jewels to make a black pearl. So in essence, that's six for each one. You need six black pearls total. So in the span of one game, you would have to create... My math is gone somewhere. But to do this, it's ridiculous. The most black pearls I've ever had on the screen is two.
Yeah.
Two black pearls on the screen at one time.
That's that's the other thing. You can't just, you know, make six black pearls. They have to fall in the flower shape.
Exactly. And then you have to... But you got to get all the stars in the flower shape first.
Right.
So, yeah. It's damn near impossible. Anybody that has that achievement, you have my respect. Because you're the master of that game.
Yeah, and they're probably some sort of a mathematical genius.
You got to be something, because that game was made by the guy that made the original Tetris, and it's ridiculously hard.
It is ridiculously hard.
All right, well, that pretty much wraps up the show for today.
It's a good one, folks.
Yeah, that was definitely a good one.
Yes.
So make sure that you jump on the forums at forums.n4g.com. Post any comments, suggestions, anything else you want us to talk about.
Leave us some love.
Leave us some love and talk about this show. And hopefully we'll have this up sometime Sunday afternoon, so it'll be there for your listening pleasure. But for now, we're going to get out of here. So, Mr. Khan, if you would, for the very last time.